Hi, I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. On today's show, ginger for upset stomach, peppermint tea to calm your nerves. These and other kitchen cupboard approaches to easing common ailments are often called folk remedies. Do some work better than others? And which are the most effective? An editor at Prevention Magazine and co-author of a book on home remedies shares her favorites.
But first, every season has its sport, and kids who play sports can't wait for the season to begin. Many don't have to, thanks to a growing trend in youth athletics, increased competition, early specialization, and year-round training. Kids are not only playing younger, they're playing longer and harder and developing overuse injuries that weren't seen among children in previous generations. For many, youth sports is no longer child's play.
Joining us to discuss the rising epidemic in youth sports is Dr. Pietro Tonino. Dr. Tonino is chief of sports medicine at the Loyola University Stritch School of Medicine in Chicago. He's on the board of the American Orthopedic Society for Sports Medicine, which developed the Stop Injury Program to reduce injuries in youth athletics. Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Tonino. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
How has youth sports changed over the years?
Well, I think every level of competition has changed, and I just had a meeting with some of our university coaches yesterday. I think that school sports, youth sports, have elevated the competition has to almost like a high school sport level. High schools have been elevated to a college level because now you can see the Little League World Series in high school sports, high school football, things like that on TV, on ESPN, where you never saw them before. And I think the level of competition at the collegiate level has elevated to what we used to see in the old days and at the professional level. So every level has changed, I think. And there's increasing emphasis on starting kids early in sports, both to compete and win games, but also for educational purposes, because a lot of these kids can use their athletic skills to secure scholarships for school, find good schools, and secure positions in colleges, which they wouldn't be able to do if they did not play sports.
Who's driving these changes? Is it coaches, parents, administrators at schools? What do you think is the reason that all these changes have been happening over the years?
Well, there's no question that the parents, I think, are the primary drivers at an early age. And the parents talk to other parents. Parents are the ones that see what's happening, the realities of economies, and what's happening in athletics and in education. And they're the ones who enroll these kids in their traveling leagues, school leagues, things like that. And what we're finding is with some athletics, when they do the same type of sport all year round, there's an increased risk of injury because of the repetitive nature of doing something on a daily or every other day basis for one sport.
Do you think that there is also an increased, we'll call it professionalism, because of the level that sports are being played at the professional level and that there are big contracts and a lot of money involved? Does that play a role?
Well, there's always there's a lot of sayings about the importance of money in life. And, of course, as you see these contracts that these athletes sign, which is phenomenal amounts of money, that even as a child you can see that there are differences in perception of how sports are perceived in schools now. Kids see these athletes making very large salaries, and they say, maybe this is what's going to be good for me to do in the future.
So let's talk about some of these injuries. A couple of minutes ago, you referenced kind of the overuse injury because at one time there were seasonal sports, but now they have specialty camps all year. As you said, they're a traveling team. So a youth athlete can show promise in soccer, and instead of just playing it for a few months, they're suddenly playing it 10 out of 12 months. And I think that's where the overuse injury comes in. Will you explain what types of injuries these would be?
Well, it depends on the sport. For example, a running sport, a jumping sport, let's take basketball as an example. If you're in a traveling league playing basketball, if you are playing on your school team playing basketball, if you are playing in a summer league playing basketball, that means you're playing basketball now every month of the year. And in those instances, the primary areas where we're seeing problems is the knee joint and tendonitis or overuse injuries of the tendons around the kneecap. So most of these kids, we'll see is pain around the kneecap area, below the kneecap, what we call jumper's knee. In very young athletes who have open growth plates, they get something called Oshkosh-Slaughter's disease, where there is an injury to the growth area around the knee area. And those kind of things are things that normally respond to relative rest. We never want to tell the athlete you have to stop doing everything you're doing, because in a young athlete like that, that's very hard to hear. And having four children myself, I think I would probably understand how a mother, and mothers are usually the ones that are guiding their kids at that age through their daily activities. You know, to have a kid not do anything at all and not participate in any sports and not do any activities would be very hard to tolerate at that age, because kids need to be able to do something. Yeah. But you can kind of reduce their activities with respect to their knee while letting them do other conditioning things. So, for example, if they have knee pain and tendonitis and they can't jump, you can have them do biking, you can have them do swimming, other activities that allow them to keep in shape without aggravating the knee joint per se.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
We're talking about the increase in injuries among youth athletes and some of the reasons why this is happening. Our guest today is Dr. Pietro Tonino. He's chief of sports medicine at the Loyola University Stritch School of Medicine in Chicago.
Now, in terms of the types of injuries that kids acquire, Dr. Tonino, is it more critical because they're not fully developed? I mean, their bodies are still growing. What are the sorts of things that will impact them differently than adults?
Well, for example, we talked about the knee joint with jumping sports. In overhead sports, and baseball is probably the primary culprit in that, the growth plate of the shoulder, there's a growth plate that's part of the shoulder area that can get stressed from repetitive throwing, so that in an athlete with throwing who throws, that, and we're talking about overhead motion, so usually pitchers who are involved in either pitching, and again, you can be pitching in the summertime, you can be pitching with a coach when school starts, you can be pitching in, and as an all-season type activity, particularly in areas of the United States where it's warm outside and you can't play all season long. In Chicago, where I live, it's a little bit different story. You can be throwing a lot of baseballs and throwing a lot. And in that instance, you can injure the growth plate that's up in the shoulder bone and kind of get a distraction or a pulling apart of the growth plate of the shoulder bone. And that will cause disability for the athlete. They won't be able to throw, so the patients come in, the parents come in with the athlete, and you get x-rays of their shoulder, and you can see that the growth plate on that shoulder that's involved with the throwing activity looks different from the one that's not involved with the throwing activities, and you have to restrict them from throwing. So although you've signed them up to do all these things to throw, they get to a point now where you have to shut them down from throwing, and they basically lose about 6 or 8 weeks of throwing activity because of this injury.
What are the long-term consequences of injury sustained at young ages?
Most of those injuries, God has been, with a young body like that, most of the injuries that happen are overuse injuries. And even this growth plate injury I'm talking about with the shoulder, what's called the Little League shoulder, can respond to conservative treatment so that the body can be very forgiving at that age. So these overuse injuries are things that typically don't cause necessarily long-term consequences, but they do cause short-term disability to the point that you have to stop the activity, and then it puts you back. You know, you have them doing all these things to make them, you know, keep ahead or keep up with everybody. All of a sudden, you get, by doing these things, you actually set them back maybe a month or 2 months or 3 months from doing things that you want them to do.
How often are these kids having surgery, and are the techniques used with an adolescent the same as what you might do in an adult?
They are, but we're talking about overuse injuries like this. The need for surgery is very minimal. It's mostly a disability, pain issue. You have to go to physical therapy. There's an alteration in your life schedule, so to speak, and we all know how important schedules are for kids. But now you have a therapy appointment for 2 hours, three times a week that you hadn't put in your calendar. So it doesn't need surgery, but it still is definitely a life changer for a little while at least.
So surgery, does that come in with ACL and other knee issues in athletes?
It does. And now you're going to a different realm of injury, what we call an actual acute injury. So an injury that happens from a contact or non-contact sport, where there is a sudden injury that occurs to you where now you can tear a ligament in your knee or do something of that sort.
Is that on the increase?
I do see that. I see that particularly in high school females. And there's been a lot of research over the last 10 or 15 years on doing prevention injuries for ACL injuries. Having a daughter who's a junior in high school who has suffered an injury of the anterior cruciate ligament, a partial injury last year, I think that it makes me realistic and even more appreciative of how important it is to have kids do prevention-type programs for ACL injuries. But the problem is that they require time, they require coaches, they require schools, administrators, coaches, things like that to buy into the fact that it's worthwhile to spend half an hour during their practice time, which is already so precious, to do ACL prevention injuries. But I think it's worth it.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And we're talking about youth sports injuries with Dr. Pietro Tonino, who's chief of sports medicine at Loyola University, Stritch School of Medicine in Chicago. Dr. Tonino, you mentioned contact sports, and of course, the one thing that immediately comes to most people's mind is high school football and the types of injuries that we're seeing more and more often, particularly concussions. What about concussions?
Well, I think it's still an unappreciated, and we don't understand everything about the concussion issue. We know that they occur. I've been working with either professional or college football for 25 years, and I think that we definitely know that it's a problem. The problem with concussions is we don't know how to assess when someone's recovered fully from the injury. And there are some tests that you can do on a computer, what's called testing things, where you test people and see how quickly they do skills on a computer, like they're putting in identifying things in a circles, arranging circles, things of that sort, just spatial skills. And you test them before the season and then after the season or before the season when they're normal or after an injury. And you can tell that they're getting okay when they can do things that they were able to do before the injury. But as far as looking at them, it's not like a fracture. Like we can see a broken bone healing and you can say, okay, it's healed. With a concussion, it's very difficult to know that they're 100% okay after that injury.
Yes, I know there's been a lot of attention in the NFL in particular about long-term effects for players that have sustained one, two, or three concussions throughout their sports playing life, and the results have been pretty disturbing. So I know that conversation has now been brought down to the high school level. So out of the four kids that you have, did anybody want to play football, and what was your advice?
I have two sons, and I advise them not to play football. The reason is that I saw and I've seen what happens with some of these athletes. The fear of the unknown is significant enough for me that I'm not really sure that we have a good grasp of what's going on with these concussions right now. I think prevention or avoiding that type of an injury is something that I thought was important, at least for my children. But many parents may not necessarily take my advice with that. So what I recommend for them, if they do let their kids play football, and that's a decision that they make, is to do some research. If they're having their children practice, check and go to the practice, see if there's water available, what the coaches and the is there a trainer, is there a coach there who is certified and is educated enough to assess that injuries can occur. A lot of these injuries occur during practice, and although you may think that only some of these things happen during a game because you see them on the game, a lot of these injuries happen on the practice field. What kind of assessment availability is there on the practice field? Are there people there who have some training in assessing head injuries that can make reasonable decisions about what to do with your child if he or she suffers an injury on the practice field?
So we talked today a lot about some of the downsides of participating in organized youth sports, but of course there are many great benefits for kids. What would you say are some of not only the mental and emotional benefits, but some of the physical benefits of kids participating in sports?
There's no question that in America we have a problem with childhood obesity and that exercise is good. What I would recommend for parents is that if they let their child play a contact sport like football, they should be prepared to assume some of the risk of an injury that can occur from that. From the point of a head injury, a concussion is not going to be something that's going to be a rare occurrence. From the point of an acute injury, whether a broken bone or a torn ligament in the knee, that can occur from playing that sport. And if you let your children play that sport, those are things that may occur during that sport. If they're involved in other activities like we talked about with baseball and soccer, jumping activities, basketball, things like that, there's other things that can happen. But the one thing that I tell parents is, you know, children don't malinger very much. So if you have a child that complains of pain from their sports activities, you know, help them and, you know, don't tell them just to kind of walk it off, things like that. And I think it's important to tell them to assess the condition of their child if they do complain and to have seek proper medical counsel. My kids laugh at me because when I do tell them, when they complain to me sometimes, and there's the cobbler's son has the worst shoes syndrome sometimes with my own children. But I think a wife, which I have, kind of tells me sometimes, no, they're really complaining about something. I think you really should look at that. And kind of even sometimes I tend to not think about it too much or not give it too much credence. But when you see that kids don't improve and complain of pain over a period of weeks, and certainly if it's still there after a month from an overuse standpoint, then I think it needs to be seen by a doctor. If there is an injury that someone sustains, they can't walk or they can't lift their arm, they can't put weight on something, that needs obviously to be seen much sooner.
Wise advice. Dr. Pietro Tonino is Chief of Sports Medicine at the Loyola University Stritch School of Medicine in Chicago, and he's on the board of the American Orthopedic Society for Sports Medicine. Thank you so much.
You bet. Have a good day, ladies.
For more information on youth sports injuries and Dr. Pietro Tonino, visit the Take Care webpage at wrvo.org/takecare. Podcasts of our show are available on iTunes and the WRVO website.
Coming up, got dark chocolate, lemon juice, yogurt, or cherries? Learn how these foods can be effective folk remedies in combating common ailments. You're listening to Take Care on WRVO Public Media.